If anybody needs an envelope, raise your hand. Young man will get you an envelope. Cooter or Cutter, we need an envelope up front, please. Thank you. Thank you. Praise God. Welcome, everybody, to Voice of Believers Church. Good to see all the smiling faces. Amen. Hallelujah. Everybody's happy, happy, happy. We're almost through the week. Praise God. Head toward the weekend. Hallelujah. We got some birthday boys coming up for the weekend. Amen. Amen. Our text for today on the tithes and offerings is going to be out of Deuteronomy 8:18. This is out of the Amplified. But you shall earnestly remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth. I like that. He gives us power to get wealth. That he may do what? Establish his covenant, which he swore to your fathers as it is to this day. We have a covenant with our Father in heaven, thank God, through Jesus Christ. And I'm here to tell you, if you made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, you made him, and you're following after him, you now have a covenant with God. You're not outside the covenant no more. You're not a Gentile no more, you are a Christian, praise God. A Christian. Once you ask Jesus in your heart and the Holy Spirit came living in you, you become a Christian. Hallelujah. So we're not without a covenant. And that's good news. Good news, because I remember when I used to be without a covenant and it wasn't fun. I didn't have nobody to depend on but myself. And that was it. And I didn't have God to depend on to no matter if I. What I learned from the Bible was if I do what it says to do in this Bible, God will make sure I have everything taken care of. And I started doing what it said to do, and God made sure everything was taken care of. And it said right there in that verse 18 that he gives us the power to get the wealth, to establish his covenant. So he's made a way for us as we're doing what he says in the word to get the money to us, and we become a distribution center. You can become, there's no limits. Take the limits off, praise God, because with God, all things are possible. Take the limits off, hallelujah, and believe and trust God for those needs, and you can become a distribution center. I remember a story of, who is it? Jerry and Carolyn Savelle, they got on fire for God back in 69 and right in the early 70s, and they started tithing and giving, and they took the limits off, and they looked at each other right in the first little bit. She's a Bible thumper. they said, we want to be a distribution center for Jesus, and they end up becoming that. They've blessed so many people, so many different nations. They've built hospitals in Africa, all kinds of wonderful things, praise God, in the name of Jesus Christ. They've been able to help so many other people, hallelujah. Now their dreams come true. They've become that distribution center to people, to be that outreach, hallelujah. So, I mean, if God's no respecter of persons, if you want to be an outreach, God can use you just as well as he can them. They jumped in the word. They found out about all these things of Jesus and God, went after it. Hallelujah. Well, let's pray over those tithes and offerings. Father God, we come before you, Lord, and bring this to you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for your word says that we bring all the tithes in the storehouse of the Lord prove you in it. You open the windows of heaven, pour out blessings on us. So there's not room enough to receive it all. You rebuke the devourer from touching our stuff. The enemy shall not destroy the fruits of our ground, and all shall call us happy and blessed, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for we're happy and blessed. And we're those that are offering, Lord, you said we can believe for a 30, 60, 100-fold, 1,000-fold. And you said, Jesus, if you can believe, told the people, if we can believe, all things are possible to believe. There's some believing for the million and billion flow. So, Lord, I'm agreeing for whatever they're believing for. If it's a billion-fold flow back, Lord, just to pour it out on your people and let them be that distribution center, Lord. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. Young man, can you take that up for me? Thank you. Thank you. This Friday night we'll have healing school at 7 p.m. here. It's not just to come in here and it is to get healed, but it's to learn how to stay healed. And it's a school, praise God, to learn how to read his word, confess his word, and do his word. Be doers of his word. Because we don't want to just look into the Bible, then walk away from it. We want to continue to do it, praise God, hallelujah. All right, praise God. Pastor Monica, you want to come on up and share the word? Do I need to fix that for you? Okay. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Well, we missed you guys. We're glad to be back. We had a really good time. Got a lot of time to rest and a lot of running, a lot of chasing after turkeys and a lot of walking. A lot of walking. But it was fun. It was really fun. Amen. But now we're here to... Now we're here to, you know, as I was praying the other day, God reminded me of what I always say. We come here to get 212, to get hot again, because Jesus don't want, he's not looking for lukewarm. He's not looking for cold. He wants us hot. And so we come together to get each other fired up again. Isn't that good? And Jesus said, that's exactly right. And we come here to learn how to overcome and win in life. Amen. And praise God. Yeah, and if you don't mind, I'm going to need some water.
Yeah,
and
get your water. All right.
Children and youth are released.
I want y'all to make sure you tell David this is how it's done.
Wow.
I'm going to have to mess with
him. Wow.
We'll bring you water, huh?
Thank you, thank you, thank you. They're excited. Well, I'm going to pray. Well, Father God, I just thank you, Lord. You said to study to show yourself approved, and I did. But, Lord, just anoint me now, Lord, as I share this message, Lord. I pray, Father God, that we would receive everything you want us to receive. Lord, that we would listen with ears to hear, because you gave us ears to hear. Because you said when we understand, we would be healed. So give us supernatural understanding, Father God. You also promised, Lord, that you would confirm your word with signs, wonders, and miracles. So I'm expecting that we're going to leave here different. We're going to leave here encouraged, set free, healed, and delivered in every way. And Satan, we bind you from operating against this message. You get in Jesus' name. Thank you very much, sweetie. Thank you so much. Amen. Amen. I better not put that next to the water. That would not be good in front of everyone. Amen. Let's make sure everything's still working. All right. Well, we're going to talk about the last message, number 10, of a strong spirit. And just to kind of catch us up, number one was, why do we need a strong spirit? Number two was, why do we need a strong spirit? Number three was signs of a weak spirit. Number four was seven indicators of a strong spirit. What does it look like? Number five was getting rid of those things that would keep us from having a strong spirit. Number six was how to develop a strong spirit. And number seven was feeding on the Word of God. And number eight was entering into God's rest. Number nine was how to exercise your spirit, which is doing the Word. And so tonight is the very last, if I can get done. I'm on the time. He's going to let me know when I'm done. But now it's going to be the seven habits of a strong believer. Seven habits. And so I want us to look at our foundation scriptures, Proverbs 18:14. All right. And it says here, you know, the human spirit can endure in sickness, but a crushed spirit, who can bear? A man's spirit will endure sickness, but a crushed spirit, who can bear? Or a broken spirit, who can bear? Another version is, a man's spirit can sustain him during his illness, but who can bear a crushed spirit? You know, the spirit of man endures his suffering, but who will endure a wounded spirit? Amen. And then Proverbs 24:10 says, if you falter in a time of trouble, how small is your strength? If you fail under pressure, your strength is too small. If you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is too small. If you slack in a day of distress, your strength is limited. You know, we're talking about developing a strong spirit and and maintaining a strong spirit. And everything in life is affected by our strong spirit. I mean, in our family, our finances, our cities, everything around us depends on if we're going to have a strong spirit or not. Isn't that true? Sustain would be to hold us up, to keep us together when everything looks like it's falling apart. You know, we need to keep our spirit strong so that when things happen, whatever it is, whether it be you have a family situation or a financial situation comes or a health situation comes, you know, and then our strong spirit will come and will sustain us. It will come to our aid, is another version, or it will carry you through. Isn't that good? That's really good. Let me make room here. Praise God. So a strong spirit will put you over the top when the enemy is trying to pull you down. It will remind you of what God's word says instead of what the enemy is trying to tell you. So we can't let our spirit get weak. So how do we have a strong spirit? We feed on the word, we say the word, we think the word, and we obey the word. And when the word has to be first place, you know, it's a decision. I'm going to do what the word says to do, and I'm going to become word-minded. And it's also a decision. I'm not going to, hope y'all love me. This is for me too. But it's a decision, you know, I'm not going to feed on junk. I'm not going to say junk. I'm not going to think junk, and I'm not going to do junk, right? You may be saying, man, that's a lot. And it is a lot, but you know what? Victory is a lot. This is a privilege to be able to live God's way and be blessed even in the middle of all this. Isn't that, it's worth it. It really is worth it. So it's a decision. You know, it's about our choices. We have to make the choice, am I going to live in victory? Am I going to live blessed? Am I going to do it God's way, even though I feel like I want to do it a different way? Or am I going to be lazy? Am I going to be weak? Am I going to be disobedient? You know, and the secret of our future victory is in doing it God's way, and it's doing it in a daily routine, doing it God's way in our daily routine, making it a habit. So our next scripture is going to be Proverbs 8, verse 34 and 35. And it says this, joyful are those who listen to me, watching for me daily at my gates. That's daily. Waiting for me outside my home. For whoever finds me finds life and receives favor from the Lord. Well, we want life and we want favor, don't we? Excuse me. You know, I read the word every day now. And I had to cultivate that habit. And this, I don't know if it was just because I'm hard-headed. I don't know if it's because, I don't know, something wrong with me. It took me a long time to get that habit. It took me a long time because I was always a night owl. And it'd be anything but the Bible. I'm sorry to say, it was anything but the Bible. And it took me a long time, but I kept pressing for it and kept pressing for it and working towards it. Now it's a habit, thank goodness. Once it's a habit, it's easy. And it has changed my life. I'm not the same person, thanks to the Word of God and doing it His way. Gloria Copeland says this. She said, an anointed habit of the Word and the Spirit in your daily routine will lead to anointed results. Isn't that true? I want to look at Galatians 6:8. And you know, God is always pressing us to step up higher too. I don't know if He does that with you, but He does that with me. Once you get to the place where I've reached it, God always wants you to step to get higher. And you know what? It's for our good so we can receive higher. Anyway, I'll share a little bit what He told me later on, what He wants me to do. But it says this, whoever sows to please their flesh from the flesh will reap or receive destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit from the Spirit will receive eternal life. And then another version. Because the one who sows to his flesh will reap corruption from the flesh. But the one who sows to the Spirit will reap eternal life from the Spirit. And so according to this verse, who determines whether we're receiving life or corruption? We do. I do and you do. That's true. It depends on what we plant. You know, I remember a time when, I got it into my head that I wanted a vegetable garden. I've always into flowers, but I want to do vegetables. So I asked Lyle to till up some land for me. And it was a huge garden. I think I started too big is what happened. See, I think it was bigger than this area right here. It's pretty big. And I plant all these seeds, zucchini, corn, tomatoes, all kinds of stuff. And man, they're coming in good. They're coming in so good, I can't keep up with it. It's so much work. I finally said, you know what? I'm done with this. It's too much work. I changed my mind. And I think it was Jimmy. I said, just mow it over. And he did. The good thing is, if we don't like what we're sowing, we can change our mind and plant something else. It's so true. If we want life, we got to sow to life. You know, if we sow to corruption, we're going to get corruption. We will get it. That's just the way it is. God tells us the truth. You know, whatever we sow is what we will reap. But the good news is we can change. We can reap for whatever we want. If we want life, we can start sowing for life. You know, and the thing is, we can't get away from it. It is spiritual law. Just like we have physical law, gravity, lift, thrust, I don't even know them all. There's spiritual law, and this is one of them. And so I sow to life. I read the word, and I act on the word. Amen. And the more that I study the word daily, the stronger I become. It's so true. It's so true. I become more confident in the promises. And when I'm confident in the promises, I'm able to resist the enemy. I'm able to stand firm no matter what's going on because I'm full of his promises. And that's where we want to be. And then the more I'm firm and the more I'm confident, the more I can receive from God. And that's it. And so I want to talk about the 7 habits of a strong believer. And these, you know, any habit will become a lifestyle. And, you know, practice makes perfect. What are we practicing, right? And so we have the privilege of being able to do it his way, following his principles so that we can live in victory. So first one is a strong believer. They feed their spirit by making the habit of reading God's word every day. That's number one. And now I'm going to look at Matthew 4:4. And it says this. Jesus answered, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." Amen. And then Matthew 6:11 says this, "Give us today our daily food, our daily bread." So we do this daily, daily. You know, Glory wrote a book saying, God's Will for You. And she said, we need to arrange our schedule around the Word of God instead of trying to fit it in. And that's so true, isn't it? You know, and number two, they build up their faith by listening to God's Word daily, listening to it. And the scripture is Romans 10:17, which we know. Faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the Word about Christ. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. And then another version. Excuse me. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And so we have to listen to the word, and faith comes. There's no question about it. It comes when we listen. I like this. I wrote this down. If we listen to it every day, then guess what? Faith comes every day. Isn't that good? That's pretty good. I want to look at Proverbs 4:20. I know I'm kind of going fast, but I know he's going to send her out. Proverbs 4:20 says this. Let me bring it down. My child, pay attention to what I say. Listen carefully to my words. Don't lose sight of them. Let them penetrate deep into your heart, for they bring life to those who find them and healing to their whole body. Here's another version. My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. We have to give attention to the Word of God. We got to give our time and our attention to the Word of God. You know what happens when we have the Word of God in our heart? I love this. It talks to you. Scriptures come and it gives us direction. Oh, you shouldn't be doing that. Or yes, you need to go that way. Amen. And nobody can do this for you. I have to do this. You have to do it. No one else can do this for us. This is us, what we need to do. But the thing is, and I never really thought about it, but I was thinking about this, and it said, you know, doubt comes from hearing also. If we're listening to unbelief, doubt will come. Whatever it is we're listening to, it will come, whatever the message is. Let's look at Mark 4:24. And this is Jesus. He said, pay attention to what you hear. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you, and still more will be added to you. Here's another version. Pay attention to what you're listening to. Knowledge will be measured out to you by the measure of attention you give. This is the way knowledge increases. The more attention. I remember the first time I heard that, it was from Kenneth Copeland. I was like, whoa, I need to be paying attention so I can really understand. And then I like the way Luke 8:18 says it. And this is Jesus. He says, take care then how you hear. For to the one who has, more will be given. And from the one who has not, even what he thinks that he has will be taken away. Is it God taking it away? No, it's the enemy. Yeah. So this is why Jesus said we have to be careful what we're hearing and if we're paying attention. Amen. You know, that's why it's so important we have to go to church. We have to go to church so we can learn together. We can encourage each other, pray for each other, hold each other accountable, and keep each other on fire for God. And, you know, we don't need to find a church where all the important people are going. It doesn't matter. What matters is if the pastor's preaching the Word of God and how to live free. That's what matters. It doesn't matter if the senator's going to that church or what. No. We need the Word of God. Number three, the three is they strengthen and encourage themselves daily by speaking out God's word, by speaking it out. Let's look at Matthew 8:8. The centurion replied, Lord, I do not deserve to have you come under my roof, but just say the word, and my servant will be healed. Just say the word, and you will be healed. And then Proverbs 18:21. It's one of my favorites. And it says this, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those that love it shall eat its fruit. What's the fruit? The fruit is words. Amen. So it's important we have something to say over ourselves. Confessions to speak over ourselves, over our children, over our family. And I have some confessions over here. I printed some out today. The first time I ever learned about this was actually from Joyce Myers. She wrote a book called Me and My Big Mouth. She said, your biggest problem may be what your mouth. You know, and here's some examples. I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I'm healed by the stripes of Jesus. I'm more than a conqueror through him who loves me. He supplies all my needs according to his riches and glory. You know, it's much better than saying is, man, my family's poor and will always be poor. Or I'm dying. We're going to hell in a basket. You know, whatever. It's much better than that. And if we keep saying these things, it will change us for the good or the bad. I'm going to say the promises of God. Even Jesus said, when I come back, will I find faith? Yes, he will find faith. Amen. Number four is they dominate and control their thought life by filling their mind with God's word. In other words, you're renewing your mind daily. And that's Romans 12:2. Romans 12:2. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Another version. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. You know, when we think in the Word of God, we're thinking like God thinks instead of how man thinks, right? And this is what changed my life, and it works, you know, because if you think wrong, you're going to say wrong, you're going to do wrong, you're going to get wrong. But if you think right, you're going to say right, you're going to act right and do right, and you're going to get right. And what can be more right than God's way, right? If we keep doing and thinking wrong, we're going to get wrong, and we won't get free. I want to look at Philippians 4:8. Philippians 4:8 says this, finally, brothers, whatsoever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable or admirable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. God even tells us what to think about. Amen? And then I want to look at 2 Corinthians 10:5. We destroy every proud obstacle that keeps people from knowing God. We capture their rebellious thoughts and teach them to obey Christ. We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God and take every thought captive to obey Christ. Another version. And this is really important. They're all important. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, which is found here, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. We have to cast down the wrong thoughts. This means, how are we going to know if it's a wrong thought? We got to have enough word in us to know if this is a wrong thought or a wrong idea, right? We have to be full of the Word in order to be able to decide, in order to be able to monitor our thoughts. I didn't even know you could monitor. I remember I had just recently got saved. I had my Gideon's Bible, started going to church. And I had developed a habit from childhood, you know, because of where I was raised, of having these imaginations, this fantasy that I would play every night just to put myself to sleep. And I remember one night, God interrupts me. He says, you can't be thinking that if you intend to follow me. And I was shocked. I was like, oh, I didn't know. It really stunned me. I said, what do I think? He said, you got to think on things that are good. I said, oh. And I said, well, give me an idea. I mean, this was before I even knew this was in the Word. Isn't that amazing? Amazing. And so, why do we read the same thing over and over and over? So it gets in our head, it gets in our spirit, and then we also read it fresh. We receive it fresh, and we learn about it, and we're ready. And it says, every thought, every thought. If you get a thought that says you're going to die, this, you know, the doctor said you're not going to make it, don't listen. You cast that thought out and said, I'm going to live and not die. I've been healed by the stripes of Jesus. God sent his word to heal me and deliver me from all our destruction. You know, any word or any thought or any idea that comes from either people or wherever, if it's not lining up with the Word of God, you capture that thought and you cast it out. Amen? Let's look at Isaiah 26:3. You will keep in perfect peace those whose mind are steadfast because they trust in you. You will keep in perfect peace all who trust in you, all whose thoughts are fixed on you. I have another version. He will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. See, perfect peace only comes from someone whose thoughts are on the Word of God. That's the only way we're going to have perfect peace. If we're thinking about everything bad that's happening, we're not going to have peace. We're going to have anxiety. No, I'm focusing on the promises of God. See, when we give God our thought life, And if we submit our thoughts to his promises, we're going to have perfect peace. Isn't that good? You know, a good source to learn about this is Joyce Meyer. She wrote a book called Battlefield of the Mind, and she does really good testimonies and how to do it. You know, she had to get free from a lot of depression and anger. I had an issue with anger for many years. I got free. I wasn't doing it God's way. I got free from depression. It's amazing. Amazing. And it's just renewing your mind is what's going to change you. Renewing your mind will transform you. If you don't renew your mind, you're not going to change. But if you renew your mind, the word says, you will change. Isn't that something? That's amazing. We can change just by renewing our mind. That's wonderful. You know, say there's a flu epidemic. Some people say, I guess we're going to get the flu. No, I'm not getting no flu. I've been redeemed from that in Jesus' name. I've been redeemed. I'm not a child of the curse. I'm a child of the blessing. I'm not taking it in Jesus' name. Body, you line up with that promise right now and be healed and whole in Jesus' name. Let's look at Joshua 1:8. And it says this, keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night so you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you'll be prosperous and successful. Psalms 1 says this, oh, the joys of those who do not follow the advice of the wicked or stand around with sinners or join in with mockers, but they delight in the law of the Lord, meditating on it day and night. And they are like trees planted along the riverbank, bearing fruit each season. Their leaves never wither, and they prosper in all they do. Just by meditating on God's word. All the time, not just on Sundays, not just on Wednesdays, but all the time. If God says to do it, that means we can. Kenneth Copeland says that when you meditate or think about God's word, then his word will begin to dominate and take over our thoughts. Isn't that good? And that's exactly what we want. And then he said it will enlarge our capacity for faith. And see, faith is how we receive. So that means the more we meditate on God's word, the more we'll be able to receive. And see, if you look at, we're not looking there, but Hebrews 11 is a whole chapter on the heroes of faith. We'll be part of that. Just because we're meditating and thinking on God's thought. Isn't that good? Kenneth Hagin says that the greatest Christians are the ones who spend time meditating on God's words. Wow, we can do that. Okay, number 5. Strong believers, they anchor and establish their hearts by giving God's continual praise and thanksgiving. See, praise is a language of faith. It's the language of receiving. Why? Because if you believe you received it, you're giving him praise and you're thanking him. Isn't that true? But if we're still trying to get it, we're not thanking him and we're not giving praise, we're still worried about it. Where is it? No. See, whether it manifests today or tomorrow, we receive it by faith. We receive it by our faith, and so we give him praise, and we thank him for it. Thank you, until it does show up. You don't let go of it. You don't give up on it. It's coming. It's on the way. Isn't that good? Let's look at Psalms 34, 1. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. It needs to be continually. Let's look at Psalms 8:2. Psalms 8:2 says this, you've taught children and infants to tell of your strength, silencing your enemies and all who oppose you. Out of the mouth of babies and infants, you've established strength because of your foes to still the enemy and the avenger. Another version says, through the praise of children and infants, you've established a stronghold, wow, against your enemies to silence the foe and the avenger. That is, look how praise and strength are together. That's pretty amazing. I never really noticed that. Matthew 21:16 says this. Do you hear what these children are saying? They asked. Yes, Jesus answered. Have you never read from the mouth of children and infants you have ordained praise? You have prepared for yourself praise? See, praise proves that we are in faith. And it gives us spiritual strength. Well, we're out of time. We'll have to finish next time. Praise God. All right. Well, we'll pray. Well, Father God, I just thank you, Lord, that you did not leave us as orphans. You said you did not leave us as orphans. You gave us principles to live by so that we could live in power. We can live in soundness of mind. We can live in victory. That you want us to have that strong spirit so that we can, that's right, resist the enemy. We can stand firm. We can receive every promise that you said belongs to us. We just thank you, Lord. I pray for everyone here, Lord, that we are going to be strong in our spirits. Our children are going to be strong in spirit because we want to see the greatest awakening ever in our cities and in our schools and in our families and in our nation and all over the world. It's for such a time as this, and I thank you we get to be a part of it. I thank you, Lord. And if there's any of you that are listening to this, either, excuse me, on our website, or you got a CD, and you're not sure if you're saved, or if you don't even know if you should die tonight, not that you will, you don't know where you'll go. The only way to heaven is Jesus. That's the only way. There is no other way. But guess what? Jesus did it for you and he did it for me. None of us deserve it. He died on the cross for you and for me. But not only that, he's resurrected. He's sitting on the right hand of God the Father and he is interceding for you right now. He loves you. All you have to do is ask Jesus into your heart. Ask him for forgiveness. Make him the Lord and the Savior and Lord of your life. That's right, make him your Lord because he has good plans to prosper you, plans to heal you. If you prayed that prayer or if you have any other prayer requests, you can contact us. We would love to hear from you. And so, Lord, I just release us in power. I release us in the blessing. You said, Lord, that we're blessed going in and blessed going out. We're blessed in the city, blessed in the fields, blessed whatever we put our hand to because we walk in faith, Lord. We trust your word. We do your word. And so, Lord, we just thank you. We're going to live your word. We're going to see it all around us, Father God. I thank you that no weapon formed against us will prosper. If the enemy comes after us one way, you make him flee seven different ways. I thank you no sickness or disease shall come near our dwelling, but with a long life you will satisfy us and show us your salvation. And, Lord, we go out of here strong in faith, full of your word, full of your spirit, ready to make a difference to everyone around us. We just thank you for that. In Jesus' name, and all who agree, say amen. Amen. If anyone has any prayer requests, we'll agree. Amen.